offering. And as they're coming, I just need to enhance one announcement. Is that we have, Mark was making a request for 5 turkeys. Those 5 turkeys are for the church. So it's like we go to Jerusalem and then to Samaria and then to the uttermost. And so we'll hopefully get 5 here, and then we got 5 more that God will bless us with for others. So.
We need 15 total, guys, for this church. 15. We need 15 total for the church. If I can count on each family, and God can count on each family, to bring 1 turkey for your family. The church needs 15. 10 for the, or 5 for the dinner and 10 for the needy people here in the church. Okay? We need 15 turkeys, at least 1 from each family.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
It must have changed. But anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we can come and offer back to you that you've requested us to give to you, that it might be used and it might be blessed to grow your kingdom and to reach folks that you designed to have us reach. May you bless those that can give this morning and those that can't for whatever reason. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Austin Christmas is going to come and sing our special today.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Because of who I am, but because of what you've done, because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, tossed in the ocean, in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, catch me when I'm falling, who I am. I am yours. Would look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I, a voice that calmed the sea, would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what I've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. Leaf tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, would you catch me when I'm falling? You told me who I am. I am yours. Because of what you've done, not because of who I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. Wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, catch me when I'm falling, tell me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Whom shall I fear?
Going to be in the book of James this morning. If you'd like to take your Bibles and go there, or the scriptures will be put up on the screen as well. But we're going to be in the book of James. As a matter of fact, we're going to be in James chapter 2. And as we talk about faith, we can either have a faith that's alive or we can have a faith that's dead. And James says we ought to be alive in our faith, and that's kind of where we're going. I believe that James was led by the Holy Spirit. I believe he penned these words, and I believe they have a significance in each of our lives. And if we're going to take them seriously, as we should, every word in God's Word. So in James chapter 2, I want to read 14 to 26. We could take the whole chapter. It's a good one. But we're going to concentrate on these 12 verses. James 2, 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble, but do not want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that man is justified by works, not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Can we pray together? Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for inspiring James to write this particular words in this particular book of your word. I pray, God, that you'll open up our hearts this morning to have a thorough understanding that it's not just by faith that we accept Jesus and then think about him and think about him and not work for him, because you inspired him to be a worker. You've even told us that even in heaven that we will work for you. And so, Lord, I know you justify us by faith through your grace. But God, I pray this morning that we'll have an understanding that it's our work for you that really, really is where we ought to be, serving you. And so, Lord, open our hearts and minds to that this morning as, again, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, in verse 14, what use is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can faith save him? I think we see pretty much immediately here that James is trying to bring something to a conclusion. The dead faith is inactive faith. He's making it clear to us that people also have tremendous needs. Certainly they have the need of food and shelter and clothing and water. But there are other needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. Love, affection, encouragement, and direction. Without any of these needs being filled, I think a person falls into depression many times, and they're unable to work and to work effectively for God. But I think you and I, as workers for the kingdom, we have the keys to fulfill through our works exactly what God expects of us. And it's not sitting around just thinking that Jesus is so great, even though He is, and we know that. We know that God is King, and that is so great, and we know that. But if we truly love Him for being the God He was and redeemed us, He bought us back from the very pits of hell, then this morning you and I ought to want to work for Him and to take care of things. And through our works we can read and see in these particular scriptures, it proves that we love Him and we are a saved child of God. As Christians, we should be open to helping the needs of anyone. And James starts out here in chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are in need for the body, what does it profit? Does also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead? Today you might say, I know I'm saved. I know that I'm a child of God. I know that I need to come to church, but I believe that God expects more from us to prove our alive faith, and not be living in a dead faith. Needless to say, a dead faith brings on a dead church, but an active faith brings on an alive church. An alive group that's working together and coming together and meshing together with the spirits that each one of us has. Those spiritual gifts that each one of us has. They come together. They mesh together to do the work of God in this church, in this body of believers. We want, I believe, to be an active church. I've said many times, I don't want to be a part of a church that's not active. And even though at my age it's getting more difficult to be active and active every day, I still do all that I can do, and I think we all need to. Because active people for God shows an active faith. And an active faith shows an active group of people. And it also shows that we truly love the Almighty who saved us. And we have an obligation to do this. James brings us to the next point here. I believe that we've got to demonstrate the activity of our faith in our lives. Because real faith is an active faith. It's active in doing things. In James chapter 2, verse 18 now, just to move on. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I want to say these, make three statements here, and then I'm going to move on with an example. First of all, many times a church will only go as far as the shepherd takes them. But that limitation, even if there is one, should not stop the church, the people of God, moving forward and having an active faith for Him. I've heard it said many times, the cat's away, the mice will play. Listen, regardless, the mice ought to be playing. The sheep need to be active and working. A church cannot function on words. We can make a lot of promises, we can say a lot of things, but you know, our activity ought to support what we say. It ought to prove what we say, who we are, that we are a saved child of God and we are saved and we want to work for Him and we're going to do that. Then we got to show that by who we are. And the third thing, a church will only go as far as the people take it in reality. May I say that sheep produce sheep. Shepherds don't produce sheep. Sheep have the responsibility to reproduce themselves. And they also have a responsibility to nurture the young. Shepherds have the responsibility, purpose of leading and protecting and guiding into a deeper understanding into greener pastures. But sheep produce sheep. And sheep grow the next generation and nurture them. Let me give you an example of where I believe right now If your faith is where mine is for the last few years, as a matter of fact, I thought that these family seminars that, yeah, I'm trying to push them and I'm trying to enlighten you and encourage you to bring them in. There's not one person that's married that doesn't need this marriage enrichment class. It will enlighten them. And even if you've had it before, if you've had it 5-6 years ago, maybe you need renewed. When we think about making your kids mine without losing yours, there's not one parent that should not have this because it opens up avenues of understanding. There's not a question in my mind that God can and will and grow His kingdom through Awana, through our children's ministries, our youth ministries, our small groups, and certainly the youth ministries and these family seminars. But it's you and I, if we've got the faith that we say we have, that this church needs to grow, and that God's going to grow this church, and you have the vehicles to make it grow, where are we? Where are our works? Not that we're not doing a lot of things, and a lot of good things, but you see, we just can't sit around and expect God to do great things. He doesn't work that way. He wants to work through us. How much time does it take for you to talk to a coworker or encourage them? Whenever someone is complaining or conversing with you about how this has happened to their life and that's happened in their life, and we don't understand why we're just now having to run with the kids everywhere. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe it's such a thing as you pick one good thing for the child to do and you encourage them. There's a lot of avenues that can take us to a place that I believe God wants us to have, and that's more family time with our children. Not allowing society to take control of your kids. But how about you being the one as a sheep growing your lambs? God, whenever He works with us, has a reason. He'd rather show up with you as a group of people that's active in your faith. Because why would He show up in our lives if we're inactive in our faith? Think about it. We've got to be a group of people that are demonstrating our faith in all that we do. Let me illustrate for you, if I can, perhaps just an illustration that will probably bring this whole thing full circle. Story about an old Irishman. I'm not picking on Irishmen. He just happened to be an Irishman. He had a rowboat business where he rowed people across to the other side of the lake. And he did it with two oars. And he had one oar that he had engraved upon it, faith. He had another oar that he had engraved on, works. Well, one of his people that got in the boat, he happened to see that he had these two oars labeled, one faith and one works. And he asked him, he says, why do you have them labeled faith and works? He says, well, rather than tell you, let me demonstrate to you. He laid works down and he rowed with faith. And he rode hard with faith. And you know what happened? The boat went in a circle. He laid down that oar, he picked up the other one. And he rowed like crazy. And the boat reversed and went in a circle. Then, he picked up both oars. And he rowed like crazy with both oars, and he was smoothing and glazing across the water to the other side. That's our life. Faith and works, they go together. They will please the Almighty God, and we will accomplish what His will is, not ours. We allow things to get in the road of practicing our faith. I believe this old fella had a well-balanced life. He knew exactly what he had to do to get to the place he needed to get to with the least amount of energy and not go in a circle. That's what happens a lot of times whenever we are working like crazy and not have a faith in God. We're looking, well, what can I do? But our faith has got to be in God and following His direction. Our faith and our works go together. And James is trying to show us this because the truth is of life that faith and works go hand in hand. People who believe that Jesus is both Lord and Savior will do what He tells them to do. And we will remain strong in our faith and we will accomplish and do what God wants accomplished. You know, the Bible has a lot to say to us, a lot to tell us. What to do, what to say, and how to react. And whenever we know how to react and we act upon our faith and accomplish, it's wonderful. Because the Word of God tells us. But if we sit back, I want to make this point. If we sit back and say, well, faith only means that I have a saved position in Christ and yes, God is King. You know, we can proclaim that all we want. But if that's all we're going to do and not follow His direction, then there's not much use to read the Bible. We must not only think that Jesus is King and God and King, but we must do what the King tells us to do, and we do it willingly by faith that we're doing what He wants. Matthew 5:16. Great verse in the Bible. I want to share it. Because Jesus said it, He says, "Let your light so shine before men that you may see your God, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven." Our good works, whenever we are responsible and we become with an active faith, you know, again, it's not for us to have a prideful thing and say, "Look what I did for you, God." No, it's we give all the glory and praise to Him. He's the one that deserves it all. He said, let our light shine before men. You know, to do that, you've got to get out with men. You've got to get out with people. You've got to share with people. And you know, it's okay to talk about the church is active, that they have an Awana ministry that's moving on, that they have married seminars that will help lots of people, that there's a youth ministry that's active. And we go, yeah, we got small groups. We have a great loving group of people. I think it's okay to share what God has done in your midst. And we should. Next point I want to make. We can read the Bible and we can share it. We can continually be just overwhelmed with a lot of knowledge and have a lot of biblical understanding. And that's great. But let me give you an example, a few. I can have all of the knowledge and I can have all of the direction, but if I don't move, what good is it? I'll give you three examples maybe. Let's say that God speaks to you this morning and says, and you know this because maybe you read it somewhere, gasoline prices are going up 20 cents a gallon like they do sometimes this afternoon. You probably need to go and fill up after church, but you choose not to. It might be that God was speaking to you through someone else or maybe directly or whatever, for whatever reason. But now you choose not to go and fill up with gas. It goes up 20 cents a gallon. Ooh. It hurts. Another example. You have something in your home and it's starting to deteriorate. It's wearing out or it needs to be replaced. And you know that if it doesn't get fixed, that it's going to cost you more money. You could either move by faith and say, "I better get this fixed," or, "Ooh, it hurts." Whenever God speaks, it's up to us to have that faith to do exactly as He calls us to do. If I could have James chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. You believe that there is one God, you will do well. Even the demons believe and tremble, but you do not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. I'll share with you just the example. You know, I think we could probably use, let me use demons as examples. I'd say, and I don't know this for sure because I've never seen a demon. I've never seen one, but I've seen their actions. But most demons probably know the Word of God. They know about God. They certainly, and they could respond to God, but they choose not to. They won't be on God's Christmas list, I'll tell you that. You and I might have a wonderful understanding of knowledge, but if we don't share that by faith, what good is it? Certainly you need to know it, so you can share it. That's why we read. That's why we get into this and understand. But we need to share it by faith that God's Word won't return to Him void. Works. Works. The works for God affirm our faith. It proves who we are. It's great this morning, and don't take me wrong, and I've said this is going to be the third time that I've said it, I think. We are saved by our faith through the grace of God. I understand that. But that begins the just the beginning of reflecting our faith and our appreciation for what Jesus did on that old cross for us. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of the sanctification process of growing closer and closer and closer to Jesus in this life. So that whenever we leave here, it'll be nothing but a moving day to go to be with Him. There won't be no big adjustment. We'll know Him, and we'll know Him well. In John 14:12, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Jesus is expecting, He said this, He is expecting us to do greater works than He. And He made it clear. I give you all power. I give you all power so that you can go and do my work. I give you all power. That's what He said. In God's strength, in His power, He will work through us. And again, it's just going to be a proof that we have a faith. That we have a faith that's alive and it's active, because we will do what He calls us to do. And God will be glorified for it. I want to move on to James chapter 2. Again, verses 21 to 26. Here's what he says. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see the faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that man is justified by works, not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." James gives us two great examples. The first one, of course, of Abraham, a man who served God with all his days, and he demonstrated his faith. He demonstrated it. And God blessed him throughout for being obedient in his years. And then we see the other example that James makes of Rahab. Even though she was a prostitute, she demonstrated her faith by her actions and reactions to the circumstances that God had given her. Faith. Active faith. Alive faith. I'll give you an example of what I think alive faith is. As you notice, I'm not going to bring any more messages on the election. You hear enough about elections. But I give you the principles. I give you the principles of what you need to look at, is that to make sure as best you can that the candidates line up with this word. Now by faith, I trust that you're going to apply those. God wants you to apply those in faith because they're His words, not mine. So you see, faith exists through works. Faith exists. James 2:26, for the just as a body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. No use of having a body if it's dead. There's no use of having faith if it's dead either. He says, you have faith. It's got to be a living faith. It's got to be one that's moving us. You might have a body still. Yes, you might have faith still. But if it's dead, what good is it? Think about it. Without movement in the body has no existence. Stops moving, has no existence. In the same way, faith without movement has no existence. Think about it. Our faith, it grows stronger each and every day as God puts things in front of us to say, are we going to overcome this by faith or are we going to fall flat on our faces? Are we going to trust God because we trusted Him with our salvation on that cross? Or are we going to fall flat on our faces and say, oh my, this is so bad. Oh. Think about it. Where is our living faith, active faith? You know, I think, just to sum up, James wrote this whole epistle to the Christian world. He wrote it to Christians. And I'll tell you what was happening to the Christians at this particular time. They were defaulting on their faith. And James came right at them, right down where they live, and says, okay, you said you trusted Jesus Christ for your life, that you'd go to heaven because of what He did. Now where's your faith to serve Him, the living God? James made it clear. He didn't write it for those ones that was already went down the tube, but he was writing to those ones that said, you accepted Him. Now what are you going to do? You're going to say, that's just good? It's just good. It's just good. I'm saved. No. James makes it clear. He told them the reason for their lack of success and that what genuine faith really is. And genuine faith is working faith. It's an active faith. It's a real faith. It's not a faith that, well, maybe I can trust Him. No, it's a faith that says, I put my trust in Him and in Him only. Faith that was inactive was dead. And that's what James is really pouring out to us. Without works added to knowledge. So what? I can have all the words and the knowledge, but if it stays with me and it's not shared, so what? God expects us to learn and share and move and tell people. Many reasons probably could be given for the inactivity of church and dying churches, I suppose. There's probably many reasons. Probably a lot of reasons, a lot of excuses that have been given over the years. But the bottom line is inactive faith. A faith that's not alive and trusting God for all things. So today I want to leave you with a challenge. I want to leave you with a challenge and challenge you to live up to the standard that Christ put before us, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the world, to shine as lights before men so they may see our works and that we can glorify God. That's the challenge. Let us be busy in doing what we believe instead of thinking about what we do believe. Let's live it. And that's the challenge. I'll give you some places where you can put that their works to get to work to work. A lot of people seem to have a fear of visitation. I want to share with you how it really works here. Visitation 6:30 on Monday nights. And whenever you come, you're not going to be put with someone and you be sent out to some place where you don't know where you're going. You'll know where you're going. We will put you, if it's your first time or second time, we'll put you with someone that has been there before to mentor you. Not expected to go knock on that door, not expected to know what to say, although God would show you what to say. But you'll have an opportunity to feel comfortable in going. And you know the successes that we have and the stories that we get to share as we come back after an hour? We can just laugh and enjoy and rejoice in what God does. We encourage you. Great opportunities. And God says in His Word, go tell and teach and make disciples. Without us going, without us telling, sharing our faith, we're not where we need to be. Transportation team, another place we really need help. And there's no real need that there can't be more people, and I encourage you to join that team. You know, we're not going to throw you behind a wheel and throw some addresses at you and say, go. No. You'll become a rider. You'll ride with the present van driver. You'll learn the routes. You'll learn the kids. You'll learn the families. And then, when you feel comfortable, providing you are of the right age, you might have your own route. Furthermore, we got a bus out there, 18-passenger bus that happens to need a CDL. Jeff West will take you into a class and go through some things that will enlighten you on what you might need to know to pass the examination. And furthermore, the church will pay for that testing. Bible teachers. Need more teachers. Everybody is in need of teachers in all of our ministries. You know what? All you got to do is come and set in with a class, go through a little mentoring, teach it yourself a couple times after you might feel comfortable enough, and then teach a class. Great opportunities. Great opportunity also is to be a trustee in this church. Right now, there's a great need. God gave us this building, and it's a big building, and it takes a lot of maintenance. It takes a lot of keeping up with things. Great need. And God's trying to cry out to you right now that we need trustees. We need people that will step up and help with the building. We need a welcome and care team. A team of a young couple maybe welcoming visitors as they come into the sanctuary. Small group studies. We need someone to help with the small group studies, the marriage, and all of the family seminars. Come to the class. Learn what it takes. Understand the concepts. Take the class. Move on. Be mentored. Move on. Great opportunity. Six areas I just gave you that God needs some works done. Yep. It's some of it's spiritual and some of it's works, but He will reward all of those works for Him. We've heard about dead faith this morning. I've challenged you. But I want you to think about an alive faith. If I could just take you back a few months or a few years to that first day that I want to call the day of your salvation. Whenever you first made that commitment, and you said, yes, I believe that Jesus died and went on that cross. He was buried and on the third day He arose. I believe that. And you ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save your soul. I want you to think about that day. Just go back in your memory a little bit. What happened after that first day? You were alive. You wanted to tell everybody that you could tell. That you were saved and that Jesus saved you. You wanted to be at the church every time the doors were opened. You wanted to be with Christians and to learn from them and to learn about this Almighty God. You wanted to help the preacher perhaps. Or you wanted to learn more and more about Jesus and you came to church every time the doors were closed. That was reflecting the active faith, an alive faith because it just occurred. But what happens whenever we start to die in our faith? What happens to a church? You know, I can close with this story about the couple that was driving down the road on a Sunday afternoon, and there was an older couple, and the lady, she said to the fella, she says, "I don't understand why we don't set close like we used to. I don't know why you're clear over there against the door, and I don't know why." He said to her, "I never moved." And I'm going to tell you this morning that God never moved. God is who He was just as much as He was God to you the day of your salvation. He is still God, and He wants us to be working for Him. He's crying out this morning for us to work for Him, to learn and to grow and to become more efficient for Him. That's His cry to us. Jesus said, "I haven't moved." Jesus says, "I'm here." God says, "I'm the same today, tomorrow, forever, as well as yesterday." He says, "I am God. I want you, all of you, to follow me, and I give you direction." Can we stand and pray together? Father, thank you for this message from James. Thank you for James and speaking boldly. And now, Lord, I pray that you'll draw many to just come to this altar this morning and lay down their hearts to you again and say, "I want to get back where I was. I want to get back to where I was when I was saved and it was so wonderful. I want to feel that again. I want to be that again. I want to be a servant." So, Lord, we give this invitation to you to work with your people. They are yours, and the message was to your people. So, Lord, now we give this time to you to draw them unto you closer. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.